are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you once again. It is a Thursday episode. We are going to be breaking down the week one matchup. The NFL season is almost here. 49ers in Minnesota, 10 a.m. Pacific time start against the Vikings to kick off the 2018 NFL season. It's going to be a tough matchup. My guest today, Jordan Reed, is our Vikings expert. He's going to be joining me to break that matchup down. We're going to look at both sides of the ball, Niners O versus Vikings defense and the 49ers defense, how they might slow down Kyle Shanahan's sort of ex-boyfriend, I guess it is, in Kirk Cousins, now quarterbacking the Minnesota Vikings. It's going to be a tough matchup week one for the 49ers, but a good barometer, I think, to start the 2018 season. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the podcast. We're on iTunes. We are on Spotify. We are everywhere. Tell a friend about Locked On 49ers, and whatever team they're a fan of, their team is covered right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can follow me on Twitter at BD Peacock. That's the best place to get mailbag questions in. You can also shoot an email to lockedon49ers@gmail.com. Before we bring on today's guest, I want to get to the injury report for the 49ers, and it's a somewhat of a short injury report aside from Jerick McKinnon, who was obviously lost for the season last week with a torn ACL, so he's done for the year. And aside from that, the 49ers are actually doing okay. There's only four guys listed this week as of Wednesday on the 49ers injury report. Eric Magnuson is the only one that's guaranteed not to play. He did not participate in practice, and he got a better diagnosis with his hamstring. They thought he might have been done for half the year, but they didn't put him on that IR, even the IR to return. So they're hoping to get him back at some point before week eight, it sounds like. So maybe that's going to be shorter, more of, you know, like 3-4, 5-week injury rather than an 8-10 week injury as originally thought. So Eric Magnuson not on IR, but still not participating in practice. And then there were some limited participants. Another hamstring is Malcolm Smith, and we saw him play, so they're just being cautious with Malcolm Smith. He got in a limited practice on Wednesday. Jimmy Ward also limited with a quadricep injury, and Gary Gilliam, who's been out with a concussion for a few weeks, he was limited in practice on Wednesday. But it sounds as if those limited guys are all going to be ready to play on Sunday, so they'll really be without Eric Magnuson, the only guy that would not be able to dress, and possibly Gilliam if he's not fully cleared for contact after that concussion on a Sunday. Looking at the Vikings side of things when it comes to injuries, they've got a slightly longer injury report, and it looks like Pat Elflein still dealing with ankle and shoulder surgeries from the offseason. It's not clear whether he'll play or not. I'll ask Jordan about that a little bit later. Xavier Rhodes popped up, the star cornerback, popped up with a hamstring injury on the injury report, but it doesn't sound serious there. Marcus Sherrill's also nursing a sore hamstring. Left tackle Riley Reeve has a foot injury. All those guys were limited in practice. And Mackenzie Alexander, the cornerback, and Rock Thomas, a running back, both ankle injuries, did not practice on Wednesday for the Vikings. Dalvin Cook, though, is back, and he made his appearance in preseason games for the Vikings, and we'll ask Jordan about Dalvin Cook and how he's looking and if he's ready to go week one for the Vikings. And he's a promising second-year guy. His rookie season was cut short due to injury. He had a lot of injuries in college as well, so hopefully after week one he's fully ready to go, but wouldn't be that terrible for the 49ers if Dalvin Cook wasn't fully ready in week one. And that's only fair, right? Niners lose their number one running back. Vikings, you guys don't get to use yours either. So that's the injury statuses for both Minnesota and San Francisco going into week one of the season. And those lists usually grow quite a bit during the season. But the 49ers actually got pretty healthy toward the end of the preseason, aside from that one major injury, obviously, to Jerick McKinnon. Oh, and one more thing I want to get to here before we move on. Kyle Shanahan had the best answer when he was asked by reporters about Cole Hikutini. Cole Hikutini, who was cut by the 49ers in somewhat of one of the surprise cuts and did not make the 49ers 53-man roster as the third tight end. He was beaten out by Cole Wick. And then the Minnesota Vikings went and swiped him up and signed him to their practice squad. So, you know, obviously you're putting one and two together, and you're thinking, okay, they're trying to get a little bit of information, whatever they can, off of the guy who was with the 49ers for a couple seasons. Even though he didn't play a big role, he was on the practice squad for most of the year in 2017. He did get some run on the 53-man roster at the end of 2017 and then spent all of camp this year with the 49ers before getting cut. And this was Kyle Shanahan's concern level when asked about Minnesota signing Cole Hikutini. He said, quote, "No, not concerned." I mean, it's not like Cole knew our game plan or would have been able to memorize it, but hopefully the stuff he tells them, we've got double moves off of all that stuff, so hopefully they listen to him. So that's Kyle Shanahan not too worried about what Cole Hikutini or anybody else might leak to the Minnesota Vikings about the 49ers and what they like to run. And Kyle Shanahan's a smart enough guy where he sees people jump and stuff. He's got plays he can call off of other things and set things up, and so, yeah. If you want to start jumping something that you think you know the 49ers are doing, you better be prepared because Kyle Shanahan's going to have something else to counter that. And I love the confidence, and I've talked about this before on the show, one of the most refreshing things about both Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch is just how honest they are. And you ask them a question, even if it's a football question, even if they think they might even be giving away a little bit of a house recipe secret, he doesn't care. He'll tell you straight how it is. And I love that from him, and the confidence too, to be like, yeah, whatever, tell him if you want to, but it's not going to help because I'm still going to beat you. And I love that confidence, and I love the honesty from Kyle Shanahan. One more quick note before we bring Jordan on, I want to let you guys know about my bookie. Ever since I started doing this podcast, people always ask for advice, whether it's fantasy advice or betting advice, who's going to win this game, who's going to win that game. You'd be shocked at some of the oddball questions I get that aren't even really football related sometimes. So there's some weirdos out there in the Twitterverse and the email universe, but I love it. Keep them coming. I love all the crazy questions you guys give. But as far as betting, who's going to win, who's not going to win, I don't always know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. MyBookie has been good to me. That's why I'm telling you to make your way to MyBookie. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. My guest today is Jordan Reed. He is a staff writer at Inside the Pylon. Fine folks over there at IT Pylon doing big things. And then he's also the co-host of Climb the Pocket podcast. This is Jordan Reed. You can find him on Twitter at JReedNFL. Jordan, thanks for joining the show.
Thanks for having me, Brian. I'm excited.
So you're a Vikings guy, and when the schedule came out, it was like, okay, that's a rough go for the 49ers to start out. But then I started looking at this game a little bit more and more, and then I realized there's one question I got to ask you. Why will the 49ers beat the Vikings Sunday?
The biggest thing that scared me about this game is that when Kyle Shanahan has time to prepare for a defensive coordinator, he's known as a guy that's an offensive mastermind, so he has a lot of time to prepare for Mike Zimmer. We all know the Vikings defense is very vaunted and very scary. They were the number one defense a year ago, but when Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo took over together, they were a dynamic duo, and a lot of people were saying that Garoppolo was a product of Kyle Shanahan's system, and I don't necessarily believe that. I think the world of Jimmy Garoppolo, I think he's eventually going to prove to be the franchise quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, and he's going to be proven to be worth the money that they did pay him this offseason. So a lot of things are really scaring me about this game. One, Jimmy Garoppolo, and the fact that Kyle Shanahan has ample time to prepare for Mike Zimmer's defense.
You know, one of the underreported parts of this game, I think, is that Kirk Cousins is the quarterback on the opposite side, and that was Kyle Shanahan's guy. I think he thought all along that the 49ers were going to end up signing Kirk Cousins last offseason because They didn't see that Jimmy Garoppolo trade coming. And even after they had traded for Jimmy Garoppolo, John Lynch is on record saying that he still wasn't sure. And he really had to talk Kyle Shanahan into Jimmy Garoppolo. And then Jimmy Garoppolo did most of the talking. Once he saw him play down the stretch, he realized, okay, this is our guy. And then he kind of forgot finally about Kyle Shanahan. But Kyle Shanahan really loved, or Kirk Cousins, I mean. And but Kyle Shanahan really loved Kirk Cousins. And so maybe he knows a lot about how to beat Kirk Cousins because he knows so much about him being his offensive coordinator from Washington. And it's an interesting story because one of those two quarterbacks was going to be quarterback in the 49ers. Now one's on the Niners and Jimmy Garoppolo. The other guy's playing in Minnesota.
Yeah, and I didn't even think of it from that angle. You make a great point. And if there's one guy that really knows the strengths and the weaknesses of Kirk Cousins, it definitely would be Kyle Shanahan because of their time in Washington. So it would be interesting to see exactly what type of things that their defense does to counter what Kirk Cousins is trying to do on Sunday.
When Jimmy Garoppolo has the ball and that 49ers offense is looking across at the Vikings defense, what do you expect to see from the Vikings defense going against that 49ers offense? It's one of the best defenses in the league, and I know this is it's a tough assignment in week one for the 49ers, and on our show yesterday, Nick and I talked about this game and our whole season and went pick by pick and picked games for the 49ers, and there was just no way that we could predict a W for the 49ers here because week one, the 49ers are still young, still building this thing together, and it's going to be fun to see what this offense looks like with Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan having a full offseason together. But, man, that Vikings defense is good. So what is Jimmy Garoppolo going to see from that Vikings defense when he looks across on Sunday?
Well, you're going to see a defense that's extremely fast on all three levels, and it starts up front with their defensive line. We all know that Everson Griffin is the star of their defense when you talk about their defensive line, but they have a guy on the opposite side that's just as talented, and I think he has the same type of upside that Everson Griffin does have in Danielle Hunter. We all seen that he got a 5-year, $72 million extension this offseason. So the Vikings really respect him, giving him $14 million a year. So they're paying him like an elite defensive end. And in the middle, they upgraded this offseason, signing Sheldon Richardson to a 1-year, $8 million deal to play the three technique position. Tom Johnson and Shamar Stephen manned that spot a year ago. Both of those guys moved on to the Seahawks, and they wanted to get more speed and a true penetrator at that three technique spot. And that's exactly what Sheldon Richardson does bring to the table. And then you talk about the nose tackle and Linval Joseph, who I think is one of the more underrated players around the entire NFL. And in my opinion, he's the most important piece on this Vikings defense because he puts less stress on everyone. And that brings me to the second level of the defense, talking about Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr, two of the best linebacker duos in the entire NFL. And both of those guys are fantastic athletes. They just fly around the field. They're at their best when they're stuffing the run, and they can also guard those running backs out of the backfield, and they match up very well with tight ends as well. So, and then you talk about one of the deepest secondaries in all of the NFL with Xavier Rhodes and Harrison Smith, who are the headliner guys. But you have other underrated guys in Anderson Dejo and Trey Waynes, who is a guy that really came along really good at the tail end of last year, and now they've drafted Mike Hughes, and they also have Mackenzie Alexander as well. So, and then you have the signing of George Iloka as well, who is a respected player that came over from the Cincinnati Bengals. So they're just loaded on all three levels of the defense. And it's going to be a tall task for Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo. But we all know that the biggest way or the easiest way to defeat this Vikings defense is to get off to a fast start and keep your foot on the gas pedal. They've been known to be volatile against RPOs. That's how the Eagles defense defeated them last year, and they just kept their foot on the gas throughout the entire game. You just cannot let up because Mike Zimmer is eventually going to make some type of adjustments, but you just have to keep your foot on the gas pedal and just adjust if he adjusts. And the only way to counter their speed is just get them going against RPOs to use their speed against their advantage. So I think that's the biggest way you defeat the Vikings defense, but it's a very tall task defeating this defense because they're so fast at all three levels of the defense.
Yeah, that's one of the things, getting the defense going one way and trying to cut it back with those outside zone runs from Kyle Shanahan. But the guy that he brought in, who was handpicked to be his running back one for the 49ers this season, and Jerick McKinnon, is now out with an ACL for the year. What did you see from Jerick McKinnon as a Viking, and were you surprised that the 49ers brought him in for that money to be the number one running back?
I don't want to say I was surprised. I was really surprised at the dollar amount that he actually got. I didn't expect him to end up being a top five paid running back. I knew he would get paid very handsomely, but I didn't think it would be that much because we were hoping that we have Dalvin Cook for cheap on a rookie year deal. So maybe we could afford to pay Jerick McKinnon maybe in the upper tier of running backs, maybe like top 30 or something like that. So when he signed for what he signed for with the San Francisco 49ers, I was really surprised. But as far as his fit in Kyle Shanahan's offense, it's just unfortunate that he got hurt because he's the perfect back to go in that offense. He's a guy that can run in between the tackles on the perimeter as well. And he's such a great threat as a pass catcher out of the backfield. And that's what you saw last year in Pat Shurmur's offense. They didn't just exclusively use him as a running back. They used him a guy in the slot. They put him outside on the perimeter as well. He's just such an ultimate weapon. And it's just unfortunate that he got hurt because I think Kyle Shanahan's offense is an offense that he really could have thrived in and been a breakout star as well.
One player you mentioned there and that stud core of really, I mean, on every level, you've got studs on the Vikings defense, but the linebacker group and Anthony Barr, you mentioned paying Danielle Hunter in the offseason. And if I'm not mistaken, Anthony Barr is going to be a free agent this coming offseason. I think a lot of 49ers fans have talked about him and sort of looking ahead and thinking, oh man, he'd be a really great fit at strong side linebacker for the 49ers. What are your thoughts on Anthony Barr? As a player, has he come along and developed with his unreal physical talents? And do you see the Vikings laying down that cash to bring him back next year?
I think this is a really big year for him, and I think they're going to end up paying him. But it just really depends on how he plays this year because it's been a bit of a roller coaster ride with him. He had a really good year last year, but in 2016, it was really a bumpy road with him. And him and Mike Zimmer had a little feud at the time. And Mike Zimmer just came out and said that he thought he was coasting and he wasn't giving full effort in his defense at time to time. So it's been a bit of a roller coaster with Anthony Barr, but he's a guy that he makes all the calls on the defense. He wears the green dot on his helmet on Sunday. So he's right in the mix, making the calls. He's relaying the calls exactly from Mike Zimmer. So Mike Zimmer completely trusts Anthony Barr, but he just wants to give him full. He wants him to give him full effort every single down. And that's just something we didn't see in 2016. Now, in 2017, he definitely had a bounce back year. He set a career high in a lot of categories. And we're really looking forward to seeing how he plays this year. And I think he's really going to have another good season. Now, what I'm really interested to see this year is that they're experimenting with him at edge rusher more this year. And that told me a lot. It told me a lot because I think his agent wants to dip into that edge rusher money a little bit. Yeah, and he also wants to dip into that outside linebacker money a little bit, kind of like what Von Miller did. So it's going to be interesting to see how much percentage they use him as an edge rusher as opposed to a linebacker. So I think he's going to have a fantastic season, though.
A couple of guys that aren't getting headlines that I liked coming out of college. One is linebacker Kentrell Brothers. Is he just a special teams guy? Is there a chance for him to break into the lineup for the Vikings? Because he kind of fell off the map after he got drafted by Minnesota, and he's somebody I really liked. I thought he could play a little bit coming out of college.
Yeah, so his biggest deficiency right now is playing on third downs and passing situations. Pass coverage just really hasn't been his strengths. But on first and second down, he's been really good for the Vikings at that Mike linebacker spot because he's known as a thumper that can play in between the tackles. But when he's asked to cover those running backs and tight ends out of the backfield, that's just something he hasn't been able to do. So it's really been hard for him to get on the field, especially being behind such a great player. And Eric Kendricks, you really don't want to get him off the field unless he's just really gassed or tired in a game. But Kentrell Brothers is also suspended for the first four games of the year dealing with a PED situation. So that's really unfortunate.
Jordan Reed joining me here on Locked On 49ers. You can find his work at Inside the Pylon. He also has a podcast of his own, co-host of Climb the Pocket podcast. He's our Vikings expert we're talking to today, breaking down the week one matchup with the 49ers and the Vikings. All right, let's flip it to the other side of the ball then. The Niners defense going against the Vikings offense. And so it all starts with the newest quarterback in town. What do you see from Kirk Cousins in the preseason games, and how much of an upgrade is he over what you guys had going on last year? It took you all the way deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's been the big story in town right now. We have a shiny new toy under center and Kirk Cousins that we're really excited about. First fully guaranteed contract in NFL history. So he comes in with a lot of hype. Case Keenum, Teddy Bridgewater, and Sam Bradford were shipped out in free agency. All three valuable quarterbacks that probably could have started this year, but the Vikings wanted to swing for the fences, and they got the big fish in the pond in Kirk Cousins, which is something the fan base is extremely excited about. We haven't had stability at quarterback in a very long time. The Vikings haven't had a franchise quarterback in nearly a decade that, you know, we're really confident in that hasn't suffered some type of injury. So we're really excited in Kirk Cousins, and it's been arguable if he is an upgrade over Case Keenum, and I think he really is an upgrade over Case Keenum because Case Keenum had an outlier season last year, and the Vikings front office just felt like he couldn't replicate that success moving forward, and that ultimately was the biggest reason why they let him end up going to Denver in free agency. So we're really excited about Kirk Cousins, and the one thing that I love about Kirk Cousins is that he's not a guy that's an elite quarterback, but he's a guy that can engineer an offense, and the Vikings offense is so loaded on the perimeter with Dalvin Cook, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, and Kyle Rudolph. The list goes on and on. So he's that final piece that you can add into the puzzle, and I think he can engineer this offense to have some success. And I think the Vikings can end up being in the same situation that they were in a year ago.
I think that was a great point about Case Keenum and having his best year, and it's smart to sort of have that have that free money of having a cheap quarterback that really had his best season and not pay him and try to upgrade there. And even if it's a marginal upgrade, it might be worth all that money because, I mean, how much better can that team get? And now you've got guys coming back like Dalvin Cook. Actually, I got to ask you about that. How's Dalvin Cook looking coming off that injury as a rookie?
Oh, he's looked phenomenal. Now, we've only seen him in one preseason game so far, and he only had like one carry for 2 or 3 yards or something like that. So they just wanted him to get some contact in preseason games before they put him out there officially for week 1. But he'll be ready to go. He's looked fantastic in practices. All the social media, the beat writers have just been salivating. And just of how good he's looked in practices, he looks even more explosive than he did a year ago. So we're really excited to see him in week 1.
What's going on with Laquon Treadwell? Was he just not athletic enough to separate once he got to the NFL? Because, man, he just seemed like a power player that at least could be someone who could be a chain mover. And he's been relegated to, what, number 3 wide receiver status? And he had to climb to even get to that point, right?
Yeah, so when the Vikings drafted him a few years ago, they were expecting him to be that complimentary guy opposite of Stephon Diggs. But little did we know, we had a star receiver already on our roster that was strictly a special teamers at the time, and Adam Thielen. So Adam Thielen's surge or ascension into a star really has blocked Laquon Treadwell to this point. And there just isn't enough footballs to throw out to all those 3 guys. And we've seen how good Adam Thielen has been these past 2 years, and it's really blocked Laquon Treadwell's development to this point. But he's going to be that number 3 wide receiver for the Vikings this year. And I think it's going to be good for him moving from Case Keenum to Kirk Cousins, because Kirk Cousins is a guy that's not scared at all to spread the wealth among all receivers on his team. Case Keenum is a guy that really locked onto his first and second reads, which were Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. So Laquon Treadwell was getting open on a lot of passing concepts. But Case Keenum just wasn't able to look his way because of him just staying on his first and second read. So I think Laquon Treadwell, he's not going to have a breakout season, but he's a guy that could probably end the season with 400 or 500 yards and, you know, 3 or 4 touchdowns, which I think is perfectly fine for a wide receiver 3 behind Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen.
Absolutely. So when the Vikings roll out there and they go in 3 wide receiver sets, the league increasingly is targeting slot receivers and trying to find matchups there. Is it Laquon that's going to be that guy, sort of a big slot, or do you move Thielen or Stephon Diggs into the slot and try to use them to maximize their ability to have a 2-way go from the slot?
So they've mostly been using Adam Thielen in the slot for the most part, and they've been using Diggs and Treadwell on the outside. So that's something I expect to see in week 1 as well.
Okay. So looking at that that Niners defense and the Vikings offense, what would you do if you were Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator of the 49ers, to try to stop or at least slow down that Vikings offense?
I think you have to get pressure on Kirk Cousins somehow, some way. He's a guy that's known to not being great against pressure, and he gets a bit antsy when you force him to throw from different platforms. So I think they have to dial up some pressure, and we all know the biggest Achilles heel for the Vikings, and it has been for years, for previous years as well, has been their offensive line. They just made a trade of a couple of days ago, well, last week actually, for Brett Jones from the New York Giants for a 7th-round pick. So he's still in the mix right now to start at left guard or center. They haven't officially came out and said what he's playing for week one. So they have a lot of moving parts on their offensive line, and we all know that chemistry is something that's very important for their offensive line, and that's something that the Vikings offensive line doesn't have right now because they have those so many moving parts. So I think they have to, the 49ers defense has to find a way to confuse the Vikings up front and generate some type of pressure consistently on Kirk Cousins. If they're able to do that, I think they can be very successful.
There's 49ers fans and listeners to my podcast right now that are hearing that and are kind of squirming a little bit, because one of the big stories for the 49ers offense or the 49ers offseason has been that they hadn't really attacked the edge rush position. They have a lot of bigger ends and some defensive linemen, a great defensive tackle in DeForest Buckner and last year's first round pick in Solomon Thomas, and the first rounder 2 years before that in Eric Armstead. So they got some big guys, and they have a lot of guys who have been pretty good at getting pressure, but that have been bad at getting that last step and getting to the quarterback, hitting the quarterback, and getting sacks. So that's one of the big things the 49ers fans are looking for. So if the key of the game comes down to the 49ers collecting sacks and getting to the quarterback, that's something that I think might be in the Vikings' favor. Unless, like you said, the offensive line starts to get a little bit leaky. One question I have about the Vikings offensive line is Pat Elflein, who I loved coming out of Ohio State. What's going on with him? Is he hurt? Is he going to be playing in this football game?
So he's probably going to be out for maybe the first 3 or 4 weeks of the year. He's dealing with, he had ankle surgery. He hurt his ankle in the Philadelphia game, the NFC Championship game, and it came out later about 2 weeks in the training camp that he actually also had a shoulder surgery procedure as well, which is something that was new to even the local media as well. So they just took him off the PUP about 2 days ago, I believe it was. So he's not going to be out the first 6 weeks of the year, but they're expecting it to be maybe 3 to 4 weeks, which is the biggest reason why they ended up trading for Brett Jones from the New York Giants.
So knowing all of this about the Niners, about the Vikings, how do you see this game turning out? Do you have any predictions for maybe a final score, or just how you see this game playing out on Sunday?
I'm going to go Vikings 24, and I'll go 49ers 13. I think the Vikings defense is just going to overwhelm the 49ers offense, and I highly respect Kyle Shanahan as an offensive guru and what he's doing in San Francisco, but I just don't think they have enough weapons to counteract the Vikings defense, especially with their lack of depth in the backfield. Now that Jerick McKinnon is down, I think the world of Matt Breida, I think he's going to turn into a really good player, and Alfred Morris as well. And that's a nice tandem back there. But I just think with their youth on the perimeter, Dante Pettis is another guy that I really like as well. But I just think the Vikings secondary is going to overwhelm, and their depth up front is just going to be too much for the 49ers.
Yeah, that 13 points could be something where I mentioned the pass rush earlier. So if on defense, the 49ers can't get home on Kirk Cousins, it might be a long day. And then on the other side of the ball, on offense, the 49ers have had kind of a rough time putting the ball in the end zone. Even when Jimmy Garoppolo showed up, it got better over his 5 games, but they kicked a lot of field goals. And so that'll be the thing I think on offense is one of the keys, is that red zone offense. If the 49ers are able to march down the field, which will be tough enough, they've got to put the ball in the end zone and not just settle for 3 points, or they might end up with, like you mentioned, a score like 13. I think the line right now is Vikings favored by 6. You take the Vikings on that?
Yes, I would. I definitely would take the 6 points.
What is the overall feeling for Minnesota? Is it like a Super Bowl or bust situation since you guys came so close last year? Is the fan base, would the fan base be completely upset if it's like, you know, play the divisional round and out, or even get to the NFC Championship game and then get bounced?
Yeah, I think it would be very disappointing considering how far the team got last year and the disappointing end result in the NFC Championship game against the Philadelphia Eagles. So I wouldn't say a Super Bowl or bust this year, but I think over the next 3 years, I think they have to win the Super Bowl because this roster is just absolutely loaded. This is the best roster the team has had since 1998 when they went to the NFC Championship game again and ultimately lost to the Falcons. But I think this roster is just so loaded. There isn't really any glaring holes. They have a great coaching staff. They got John DeFilippo, who came over from the Philadelphia Eagles, who is a highly respected offensive coordinator and most likely will be one of the hottest head coaching candidates in 2019 as well. So there's a lot of buzz about this team, Kirk Cousins coming over, and hopefully he was that final piece to the puzzle, and hopefully they can end up hoisting the Lombardi Trophy in Atlanta.
Oh, man, that 98 team, that team was ridiculous. That was rookie Randy Moss. You had Randall Cunningham just slinging it. Oh, man, that was a fun team to watch. And actually, oh, here we go. I'm gonna make all of my listeners and 49ers fans really mad at you right now. Who do you take, Jerry Rice or Randy Moss?
See, Randy Moss made me a Vikings fan, so I don't want to disrespect 49ers fans. Jerry Rice was a heck of a player, but I got to go with my guy that made me a Vikings fan. Now, Jerry Rice is the most accomplished wide receiver of all time, but the most talented wide receiver of all time, I got to go with Randy Moss.
Wow, that's, you should be a politician, man. That was a great answer. That was a fantastic answer.
Thanks.
All right, send all your hate mail to @JReedNFL on Twitter. That is Jordan Reed. You can find his work at Inside the Pylon and his podcast, Climb the Pocket. Jordan, man, it was fun talking to you. Thanks, man, and good luck to your Vikings this season.
Same to you, my man. Thanks for having me on, as always.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thank you once again to Jordan Reed, my guest today. And he is a great follow on Twitter at @JReedNFL, a knowledgeable football guy there. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I will be back on Monday with a rapid react show, breaking down everything, all the angles of what went down, what we saw from the initial viewing of 49ers and Vikings Week 1. Can't wait. It's going to be fun. The NFL season is upon us. Be back Monday right here on Locked On 49ers.